you're here. Fellowship sweeter, knowing you're near.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, January 21st, 2020, Testimony Tuesday.
Yes, it is.
One of the favorite days of the week where we get to share somebody's life journey, their faith walk, how God has been at work in their lives, and we pray it'll be a blessing, maybe a hope-filled message for you. Maybe you're an unbeliever or somebody that's never been introduced to the fact that God loves you and has a plan and purpose for your life. Well, let us be the first to maybe share this truth that is hope-filled. So stay with us for the next 20 or so minutes. And we have a special guest who we'll introduce in just a moment. But I want to recap yesterday's verse, the new one that we're starting on this week. It's 1 Corinthians 10:13. And we always love our memorization Mondays when we study God's Word together. We talk about it. And then we hope that many of you are memorizing it or memorizing it along with us. We always try to find points of application because God's Word is so rich and filled with nuggets that people describe as an onion, where there's another layer, and then the next year you maybe read it and you learn a new truth, or it's like a diamond with many facets.
I like that.
As you keep touching and talking about and thinking through, and maybe it's at a different point in your life where it has different meaning or
yeah.
It's more significant than other times. But yesterday we talked about 1 Corinthians 10:13, which says, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful." That's so key. God is always faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. And so we talked about that yesterday, and that program is archived at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org. So you can listen to it again or copy it, paste it into an email, and send it on to a friend so they can be blessed by our discussion on 1 Corinthians 10:13. Well, if you were tuned in last Friday, it was kind of funny because I was just getting to know Louis because of the English conversation class, so I briefly saw him on Thursday, and then he happened to be here with Jason for our Friday edition of Mark and Friends, and he sat in on the program, and you probably marveled. Most people don't know when Jason comes in.
People generally marvel?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yes. You probably marveled at how Jason is, because Jason walks into the studio, he opens up his Bible, really, no notes. We didn't talk about what we're going to share or say over the air, and then he just, it's like you put a quarter in the machine, and it just keeps going for a period of time.
It's like those things on Coney Island. You just put the quarter in, starts talking.
And Jason was just like that. He just got all fired up about Hebrews 8, 9, and 10. And
he does get fired up.
Yeah, and so I asked him, I said, a lot of coffee today or something? But he was just wired. And so you sat in here, observing the whole thing.
Yeah.
I think we got to say about three or four sentences about you, and then I said, oh, just tune in on Tuesday, Testimony Tuesday, and we'll get to hear some of your faith journey. But
well,
isn't Jason amazing?
I told Jason if he doesn't get fired up, then he shouldn't preach. So
yes. Oh, there you go.
Nothing wrong with
there
that.
You go.
Yeah.
And this is what happens when you walk in the door of the studio.
Well,
you're on the air now.
On Thursday, when you helped out with our English conversation classes, and it was the first time you volunteered, Marianne walked by, and I thought, oh, yeah. That's right. You've been a missionary in Africa. I got to have you and Marianne meet up. So this is kind of your first occasion to maybe share some shop because you both served as missionaries in Africa for many years. You more recently, I think you were saying like 2012 to 2018.
That's correct.
Relatively the past six or so years. Mm-hmm. So maybe walk us through a little of your faith journey as we're both just getting to know you even now.
All right. I'll try to keep it in a nutshell. Because I'm someone that's really, really talkative, so I have to try and boil it down and rein it in.
Oh, but just talk.
All right, so my parents are actually South Africans.
Okay.
They're Afrikaners. And they moved to Texas, and I was born there, and they took me to Sunday school, and I heard the gospel. And one day at home, I responded to the gospel. I had believed it as a historical fact, but then God was working on my heart, and I realized that I myself was a sinner and in need of a Savior. Mm-hmm. And I prayed.
Now, your parents, Afrikaners.
No.
What?
Afrikaners.
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 Afrikaners. So would they be considered African-Americans?
Well,
they're Africans.
They're Africans, okay.
Unless they have changed their citizenship.
Right. So I got saved at a young age.
Okay.
But then it was when I was 17 years old that I made a deeper surrender of my life to Christ and started reading the Bible every day.
Now, that surrendering, was there somebody nurturing you along in your faith journey? Was there somebody, you know, dividing God's word with this youth pastor? I mean, how did that maturity or that growth happen? Because many people, as a child, they can recognize they're sinners, they need a Savior, so they ask Jesus into their heart, but maybe they don't ever develop that or fan that faith so they grow and are living testimonies.
There were many spiritual influences in my life from Christians at church, and I went to a private Christian school for a time, and looking at my mother's example. But at that point in my life when I was 17, I got sick and tired of not being able to live the way that God wanted me to live. And out of desperation, I asked God to help me and to lead me. And I felt that he wanted me to start reading the Bible for an hour every day. And I thought, well, that's a bit much. I'll try, you know. But
it's a bit much, God.
Yeah, but I tried and I got in the habit of that. And I started reading verses that I'd never remembered hearing in 17 years of going to church and Sunday school because I was reading the Bible for myself.
Sure.
So when I was 17, started reading the Bible, the Lord spoke to me through it with his spirit. First thing he did was convict me of pride. I read the verses about how he gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud.
It's a powerful verse.
Yes. And then next thing he convicted me of was of lovelessness towards my younger brother, that verse in 1 John about how if anyone says that he loves God whom he cannot see, but he doesn't love his brother whom he can see, then he is a liar and the truth is not in him. So God started item by item, started convicting me and started changing me and working in me.
Now this brother, was it a biological brother or
yes.
brotherhood of men and women?
Yes, he is my younger brother, okay. 5 years younger than I was.
Sure.
So that was when I was 17. When I was 18, right when I finished high school, I went on my first missions trip to Mozambique, Africa, for 3 months or 2.5 months in the northern part of Mozambique, Africa. And it was the second poorest country in the world at the time. The only poorer country was its neighbor, Zimbabwe. And so that was really my first third world culture experience. And it was really good. It was a really positive experience.
And how did you pick that country or that location?
So the lady that led that ministry, still leads that ministry, she was actually from Texas originally. So when I was in, I think it was third grade, she came and spoke at our Christian school and told all the stories about how, you know, she almost got killed by a snake or by some other wild animal.
Stories.
Right. So
yeah, Marianne shared those being chased by rhinoceroses or chimpanzees or
all of the above.
So when I was a child, I thought, well, if she's still alive by the time I get old enough, it'd be great to go visit her on the mission field. And in the end, that ended up happening. When I was 18 years old, I went and volunteered for a summer. Then I came back and I was involved with volunteering in Awana and with Child Evangelism Fellowships, Good News Clubs, After School Bible Clubs. And then when I was 19 years old, I felt the Lord lead me to go to a Bible college in or close to Cape Town, South Africa. And prayed about that for a long time.
And this is after, you know, you've done some missions trips to Africa, but you're living in Texas. And so now you're being called to go back to Africa.
Yes.
Cape Town, okay.
Yes, and a South African friend of mine had told me about the Bible college, and I prayed about it. And the verse that I felt God led me to go there, because I didn't want to leave behind the children's ministries, I didn't want to leave behind my family and, you know, comfortable things like my house and my backyard and all those things. Well, God answered all of those objections in Matthew 19:29. Which talks about how everyone that leaves home or father or mother or children or lands for me and my sake, then he will give them, he will provide.
Right.
And so with that verse, and I was praying about it, God gave us peace that it was his will for me to go to Cape Town. So I ended up going there for the 2-year Bible college, and that was 2012 and 2013.
Now, was that a cultural experience?
Yes, because in Mozambique, many of the locals could speak two languages, and I could speak two languages, but none of those languages were the same. So, so in Mozambique, it was, you know, trying to learn Portuguese and a few words in their local dialect of Makua, and we were speaking, trying to communicate. But then when I went to Cape Town, I could speak and communicate because English and Afrikaans are two of the bigger languages in South Africa. But I couldn't open my mouth without them knowing that I was a foreigner and that I came from far away. And so I could speak, but then immediately everyone knows I'm not from around here. And it sort of made me feel, well, I felt like an outsider, and I was an outsider. Because even though my parents were from South Africa, I grew up in Texas, so I was pretty American. So, yeah.
Yeah. So you went to school there for 2 years?
I did.
And you got a degree?
Degree.
Yeah.
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 Now,
certificate,
during
yeah.
this time, are you praying, okay, Lord, I'm here. I want to surrender all. I want to be open to your leading. What was his next steps, or how did he bring clarity to what you were to do?
How'd you get up here?
So I'll get to that. So it's interesting because I surrendered everything to God back in Texas and said, you know, God, even if you want to send me to Siberia, because I thought that's where I would least like to go. Even if you want to send me to Siberia, I'll be willing to go. Then he sent me to Cape Town, which is this sort of tropical lush. I mean, it
sure
can get
is.
Cold and windy, but it's not Siberia.
No.
It has the mountains and the sea and everything. But then while I was in Cape Town, South Africa has a really high crime rate, one of the, I think, top 10 most dangerous countries in the world.
Yeah, it is.
And once while I was there, I got robbed. Actually, twice, but at the point where in 2013 when I was praying about where to go, it was just once. So I maybe didn't tell God this, but I sort of felt, you know, God, I'll go anywhere. I just don't want to stay here. I'll go be a missionary, you know, somewhere else, or I'll go back to America or whatever. But then as I was praying about where I should go after the Bible college, God made it clear to me. I felt he basically told me through different Bible verses, you have to stay here, even if you do die, because I want you to be here. And he gave me peace. It was Bible verses such like, if anyone wants to come after me and be my disciple, he must follow me. And he who tries to save his life will lose it, but he who loses his life for my sake.
What about that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, where, you know, even if we die in this fire, and they were talking to Nebuchadnezzar, or, you know, even if we die or perish, we're still going to be faithful to God. And
God is God. If he saves us, God is God. If we die in the fire,
he's still God. Yep.
And God gave me peace about staying in South Africa. So I stayed and joined a local South African evangelistic mission. And so what we did was we would go from town to town and preach at schools and old age homes and jails. And we would do children's camps and youth camps and churches, basically share the gospel wherever we could.
Now, how are you funded at this point? Do you have a job or other income?
So it was a faith-based mission where I was. My home church in Texas did start sending me $100 a month, and that enabled me to buy things like gas money, because in theory our mission was funded by donations, but the donations had sharply decreased, along with a lot of the Christian culture in South Africa sort of decreasing. There's a lot of people that were moving to Australia and New Zealand and Canada and other places. So basically a shoestring budget, but God provided throughout it all. And what we did was when we would go to a town, we wouldn't have the costs of staying in a hotel and buying all our food, because we would usually stay with people that knew the mission, so that they would host us and give us like dinner and breakfast, and we'd sleep there for free, and then we'd might only have to buy ourselves lunch or whatever, because we would be sharing the gospel in their community. So they partnered with us in that way.
And you came back to America in what year?
Not last year anymore. 2018 is when I came back. What happened was, through some different circumstances, I resigned from the mission where I was, and I was praying about what God wanted me to do now, because I felt led to be in South Africa, but I wasn't able to do the type of missionary evangelistic work that where I traveled a lot that I had been doing. And I didn't feel that it was his will for me to go back to Texas, and I was praying about what to do. And eventually I felt God wanted me to get trained in a practical skill that I could use to support myself on the mission field, to be like a tent-making ministry.
Smart. Yeah.
So I didn't, I would rather just be full-time in the ministry mm-hmm. always, but I felt God's path for me was to learn a trade and then not use it whenever I need it, in, mm-hmm. even though my passion is sharing the gospel.
And that's kind of like the Apostle Paul. Wasn't
yeah.
he the tent maker and uh-huh. continued to work with his hands?
He did.
You know, on occasion, I know he did get some funding, but a lot of the funds he raised was for like the Jerusalem church or other projects. Yeah, so that's where the air conditioning, as we opened up
yes.
the program. Now, what's the company you work for?
I work for ABC Heating and Cooling.
Okay, because we have Matex and some others that are part of our Prime Life Times, mm-hmm. and I know some great Christians that work for some of these, Randy Houston and Houston Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning. So mm-hmm. there's a number of Christians that are in heating and air conditioning.
So that brought you to Illinois?
Yes, yeah, so I was praying about where to go. And then,
thank you, Marianne.
Yeah. And then after praying, me and my friends, we prayed for several months, and I felt the Lord lead me specifically to go to Parkland.
Okay.
And then...
But, like, are these friends from Illinois? I mean, you have Texas.
Yeah.
What would bring you to Illinois?
I'm determined to find this
yeah,
out.
Yeah, like, yeah, was there a female friend? Were there family members? I mean, there has to be some other kind
maybe
of
maybe you just
hook.
Heard about Parkland. It's a great school.
Well, Parkland is wonderful. Or maybe with the University of Illinois and all the international students.
Yeah.
But
maybe he heard there's a great radio station.
Well, I wish, you know, some of those things were true, but none of those things are true.
That's great.
I'd never been in Illinois. I'd never heard of the U of I. I'd never heard of Parkland. I'd never heard of Champaign.
Okay.
I didn't have any friends or family. Sorry. So we had been praying for a number of months that God would lead me specifically to which community college to go to mm-hmm. to get trained for air conditioning and heating. And not all the community colleges offer that program.
Sure.
And then as we were praying one night, I preface this by saying I don't usually have these wonderful supernatural experiences.
Well, if you had one, it's great.
Yes. Well, I felt the word Parkland, Illinois come to mind, those two words, Parkland, Illinois. And I was thinking, Lord, is this from you, or is this just my active imagination working overtime, or what is this? I was not sure. So I thought, well, I'll Google it, and I thought maybe Parkland is a city in Illinois, and they have this great community college. So I Googled, and there is actually a Parkland, Illinois, but it's a couple houses outside of Peoria. And I thought, well, maybe God wants me to live there, and then Peoria might have the – I looked, Peoria doesn't have a community college that has the HVAC program. And so I thought, well, I guess it may be a dead end. But then I thought, well, maybe – I wonder what the closest community college to Parkland, Illinois is. So I Googled community college near Parkland, Illinois, because I thought Parkland was a city.
That's great.
Or a town. And then it came up, I thought, oh, Parkland is the name of the community college.
Thank goodness, I love that story.
In the town of Champaign. So then I prayed about it some more and prayed. I felt I had peace, and I packed my suitcase and my guitar. And my brother bought me a one-way plane ticket.
Now, this is the brother you earlier talked about that you did resolve the conflicts and you did love on. So
maybe he'll buy you one home, too.
Yeah. That would have been a good story, but no, this is another brother.
Okay.
I have four brothers.
Okay.
And so I flew from Johannesburg to Dubai to Chicago and got on a bus and down to Champaign, got up the bus station here at like 9 o'clock at night,
sure.
with the suitcase and the guitar, and I hadn't rented a hotel because I figured I'd just show up and find one or whatever. But I wasn't exactly sure where I would be staying for the night. So
you're brave. Go ahead.
Well, I'm actually a very careful person, so I only did this because I was that convinced God
yeah.
was sending me here.
Parkland.
So I saw at the bus station there was a bus with Parkland on it. So I thought, well, maybe, you know, there's a place around there where God wants me to live. And I got on the bus and went to Parkland and got off. And, you know, they weren't standing outside being like, welcome, you know, you came. Not that I expected
now,
that.
Was this 9 a.m. or 9 p.m.?
P.m.
I almost
oh, wow.
was ready to hear
yeah,
that.
Or,
go ahead,
or
it's amazing.
P.m. by then. So Parkland was closed. There was nobody.
Right.
So you got on a bus to talk about Parkland on the sign. You took it out to Parkland.
The next... Well, because I was praying at the bus station, I thought, well, God told me to go to school at Parkland. Maybe he wanted me to live nearby there, too, or something.
Sure.
You know, maybe he already... But anyway,
well,
wound up, another bus driver took me. He said he'd take me to a motel, but He said, oh, well, we drove past it, but you could just walk a couple blocks that way. It was July. I came in July, so it was warm enough outside. So I was walking along Bloomington and Prospect to the little motel there. I got there, and there was no room at the inn. So I thought, asked if they could shuttle me to another one nearby. They showed me where another one is about a mile away, but they couldn't because I only had one employee there that night. So I walked a mile across the Prospect bridge north, and then turned right on, gets this market view, went and got a room there, and then the next couple days I looked for a place to stay, and I wound up the first Sunday in town walking about, I think it was an hour and 45 minutes to church, because I had to go to church and it wasn't along a bus route, to Bible Baptist Church. And I got there, and the people took me in. They gave me a camper to stay in. They felt God laid it on their heart to help me. And I got a job at Jiffy Lube within the first, I think, a week after arriving. And I was able to take the GED, because I was homeschooled, take the GED and apply to Parkland. And someone lent me a car. So then I got settled and did the year-and-a-half training course at Parkland. And so.
And now you're working.
Now I'm working at air conditioners.
I'm completely taken with this story.
And the fact that you must have somewhere along the way met David Krabiel to learn about an English conversation class, because you showed up last Thursday and assisted. And so we'll be interested to see what God's going to do in and through you and your work. So it's ABC Heating and Air Conditioning or something.
And I'm also helping Jason Schiff over at his church.
You're doing Awanas, and you is that where you're attending now, the Community Evangelical Free Church on Sundays? So,
this is an exciting story.
Yeah, more stories to share. And he has a plays a guitar. I'm thinking about the children's choir.
And he's been to Namibia, which is somewhere I always wanted to go.
Yeah,
lots of coastline.
Namibia is nice. It's a beautiful desert.
Yes, it is.
So be praying up Louis Gervais and how God will be using him and working in through him in the days ahead. And thank you for sharing on this Testimony Tuesday.
I like this story.
Me too. We have to have more of them.
I know.
Hey, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Marianne Simpkins with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.